This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You bitch! No idea how bad it gets.
Sally, I think I'll buy the flowers myself.
But you're not a girl, you're a guy. And why would a guy want to marry a guy?
Don't stomp your little lassies and flatter she's a me, honey.
John Callier, will you go around with me?
Don't fuck with me, fellas!
Oh, I feel so damn sick and dirty, I can't stand it anymore.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Is butter a curve?
I had a hunch you might be a real romantic.
We were decoys. He used us as bait. We procured for him.
We could have had a good life together. Fucking real good life. But you didn't want it, Ennis. So what we got now is broke right now.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9, where this evening we have the whole gang in the studio because we are celebrating 100 episodes of Outtakes.
Yes, you made us come. No.
and of course, we got a telegram from the Queen.
Yay!
You know, 100 years, Queenie. 100 episodes.
We've looked at some of Hollywood's queerest releases and gone globetrotting around the world. We've spoken with filmmakers from Israel, Germany, Italy, Brazil, India, Finland, and a ton of other countries. We've been over the rainbow and star-crossed a few times. We've burned in Paris and celebrated winter at Westbeth. We've donned ruby slippers with Judy and ballet shoes with Billy and searched all through the wonderful world of Disney for Cinderella's glass slipper. We've been to Mandalay and Gotham City and more than one enchanted forest. We've gone back to high school and looked at the representation of older LGBT people in film. In fact, representation is something that we've come back to on Outtakes time and time again, the importance of seeing ourselves and our communities on the screen.
Clearly, we are the United Nations.
No wonder I'm exhausted.
I know.
Jeez.
Jet lagged, I can say.
It has been a big 100 episodes, really, and we've managed to cram so much in. From Academy Award winners like Barry Jenkins and Adam Elliott and Emile Sherman, the producer of The King's Speech, to pioneering academics like David Halperin and Peter Lehman and Ruby Rich, who coined the phrase new queer cinema, from queer auteurs like Luca Guadagnino, Justin Kelly and Andrew Hay, to industry professionals like the CEO of Screen Australia, Graham Mason, and the CEO of Film Victoria, Jenny Tossey. From local Australian talent like Anna Kokinos, yeah. Sue Maslin, Rachel Perkins, to community advocates like Panty Bliss and Evan Wolfson, and the up-and-coming next generation of filmmakers like Neil Triffith, Garth Davis and Francis Lee. So we've been very lucky on this program.
That was just a marathon name dropping session.
It was.
Not man. A good name drop.
That was just dropping around, clang, clang, clanging.
How many likes? Clangers. How many likes did he get on Facebook for all those friend requests? I don't know. We're going to add them up. But we'd like to know what you have liked over these 100 episodes. We want to know your favourite Outtakes moment. And if there isn't one yet because there is a film you need us to cover, we want to know what that queer film is that you want us to see. So message in on 0427 Joy 949 or email us on air at joy.org.au. Wish us a happy 100th. Maybe we'll read out the letter from the Queen later. But yeah, we'd love
you mean
to hear.
Alan's letter?
Yeah. Does it just
join
say,
the banter?
Does
clearly?
It just say Yas Queen? Go Queen.
And she's on trend.
Do you know what? That's what I actually love about spotlighting queer cinema. When we started, there were people who said, you can't do it. There just isn't enough content. Not only have we had 100 jam-packed episodes, but there is so much left to cover that we haven't even scratched the surface of.
Absolutely. Can I give a shout out to our unofficial fifth member of our team as well?
Please.
The amazing Matt, yes. Our newsreader, who is there for us, rain, hail, or shine. So I'm just going to need to take a moment. But no, thanks. What did you say before, Gina? You summed up really nicely. He keeps us on time.
On time, on track, yeah. And all newsed up. We love our Matt. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
And you know what, Daniel? Like some of those programs that we have done, there was enough content in those programs, sometimes for not just two shows, but sometimes for three shows, the amount that we've crammed in. And in particular, I remember the program about Elizabeth Taylor. Ooh. We had 18 hours of film to watch that week. 18 hours.
Okay, it wasn't help that I made you watch Giant, which went before
Slave Driver.
That was Gina, to be fair. Those films were Gina's suggestion.
It was just Giant.
And you know. And we have to say that the only reason we know it was 18 hours was because nearly every program we get a spreadsheet from Alan that details exactly what we're looking at. So we are celebrating 100 episodes of Outtakes this evening, celebrating the wonderful guests that we've had come through the studio, because, you know, we have had so many talented people in this studio. But what we've also done is we've spotlighted the importance of representation, and we've been able to use the platform that we have here at Joy to advocate for better representation of LGBT people as well. So, you know, it's been nearly 2 years now.
Really? 2 years, Daniel? Yeah. It has.
December 2015.
Wow.
That's when we dropped that first episode.
God,
time. Look it up now.
Time flies when you're having fun. And look, Daniel, you haven't aged a moment. Unlike you and I, Conrad, you know.
Speak for yourself, please.
I'm glad that
you got out unscathed.
At our age, the months
so short they can't save me.
You are listening to Outtakes on Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9, where this evening we are celebrating 100 jam-packed episodes of Outtakes.
I feel like I need one of those, you know, like party, yeah. Anyway, yay!
And, you know, we've had a message in, Daniel.
Ooh.
And team. And someone's written in and said, we've asked the question, what is your favourite Outtakes moment? But I think this person's gone a little bit off script, and this person's actually said, well, you know, what I really want is a show that it talks about a dead lesbian trope. Please.
Because it exists. Please.
What's that about?
Well, dead lesbian syndrome. It is a real thing, unfortunately. Well, look, more especially in television.
Yes.
Where they do kill our lesbians far too often. So I think, yes, we must do a show,
Absolutely. There's
resurrecting.
So many.
Lighting a candle for the dead lesbians that have been killed in our favourite TV shows.
Well, you know, that's what we were saying before. We've done so many amazing episodes, but the great thing is that there's so much still to do.
And that's the thing. We want to hear from you. What are your favourite Outtakes episodes? And what are episodes that you'd love us to cover? What are films you'd love us to cover here on Outtakes? Message in on 0427JOY949. Email us on air at joy.org.au.
Now, to mark the occasion, I've put together a little package of some fun that we've had on the air that I think really pays homage to the fine job we do as reviewers of cinema, the intellect that we bring to
he
the...
He looks a bit evil, doesn't he, Alan and Conrad?
Yeah.
Shall we...
I'm worried about that comment, the intellect.
Yeah.
What is that going to mean?
I have no idea.
Is this going to put shit on all
beat up people?
I think so.
Let's revisit the last 100 episodes of Outtakes. Gina and Alan, welcome. Are you excited?
Oh, got the tux on, so I'm certainly ready for that red carpet.
And I'm wearing a beautiful frock. You're wearing
and
the tux. We're mixing it up tonight.
Well, I always look better in butch, you know, then.
And a lovely pink gingham dress.
Oh, gorgeous. And what was that line? Oh, it just makes me feel like, what was that? I've forgotten the line, he says.
It feels like chocolate. I don't know, but...
I feel invisible. That's the one.
Oh, yes. That's right. Yes, I feel invincible.
Invincible.
Electric.
Electric.
You're talking about Billy Elliot. Oh, yes. When he feels like fine.
That's right. How does it make you feel? Oh, I don't know. It makes me feel electric.
But also, email us, message us, let us know who your favourite witch or wizard in cinemas, I don't know, repository of which the wizards is. It's a good word.
Yeah, okay.
It is repository. It rhymes with suppository. But I probably would have gone for almanac or compendium.
Oh, would you?
Yeah.
What about canon?
Oh, canon. Yeah, that too. Yeah. Are we actually going to review this girl?
I think we should. Oh, we are. I think we should.
No, lesbians are harmed in this film. And we had... We've lost Alan.
And, Danielle, that was your interview with Alice.
April Mullen.
April Mullen, yes. And she was talking... My apologies.
That was April Mullen. That was my interview with April Mullen, who's the director
of... She looks like an Alice. Sorry, I just realised now it wasn't electric. It was feels like electricity. Electricity. Yeah, there you go. There you go. How's that? Sorry, Daniel. Please continue. That was Nicole Kidman doing her best impression of a strangled cat.
No, for me, the 90s film that has it all is Practical Magic.
Praised and lauded.
That is the film that ought to be praised and lauded. That cast, I'm sorry, that was Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman at their best. And Stockard Channing and Diane Wood.
I'll put my hand up for Nightwish.
What film do you think of this?
Look, that was definitely the best performance that Nicole Kidman ever gave in any film.
Alan.
So I agree with I agree with you on that.
Full House and we're torturing Daniel. I'm so sorry.
Well, you know, I think this is the best dress that Sarah Jessica Parker has ever been in.
It's a fair call. She was sultry in this film.
And beautiful for the first and only time ever in it.
Oh, wow. Alan.
I'm sorry. Alan. SJP.
You know what else it started? It started Baskin and Robbins ice cream. They started selling a flavour called Can't Stop the Nuts.
Wow, that just painted a picture in my mind. That's incredible. You know, 31 flavours of Baskins and Robbins and one of them is Can't Stop the Nuts. Wow, next time I go to the cinema, I'm ordering that one.
Yeah. Chopped up. Mm-hmm. Whereas my favourite scene in this whole film...
Doesn't it cause ovaries to explode, Daniel?
It does.
Yeah,
it does.
Yes. Yeah.
It causes my ovaries.
It causes your ovaries to explode, I think.
Like, what a great hour.
Too much fun.
This hour? Our hour? Oh, yeah, it's been brilliant. Is this Cabaret?
No.
Liza Minnelli. All that jazz. There you go.
Tempo.
That jazz. Well, I got Liza right.
No, time. You did not.
Is it Liza?
No. Oh, that's Catherine Zeta-Jones, Chicago.
Chicago.
Man, I got it totally wrong.
Close.
Well, there you go.
I think we all know who the real star of the show is.
Oh, shush.
I didn't say your name. I just said...
The one sit in the corner who says the stupid things. Yeah.
We're going to edit 200, Alan, you and I will sit down and take Daniel to task, I think. Conrad, you podcast, I can imagine how many moments of, Daniel's...
Remember I did that once. I got all our ums and ahs and clicks. Just sprayed everywhere. Still got that somewhere.
Yeah.
Now, I have had another message in.
Oh, yes, we've had another message in from Richard. Richard, our good friend from Caulfield. And Richard says, congratulations, guys. The Ruby Rich Show is still one of my favourites. Was that the first?
That was the first. Conrad, do you remember our very first frolic into queer cinema?
Kind of. You kind of had taken the reins. I came in just to kind of be here as support. I was the training wheels. It was fun.
Well, Richard has got a fantastic memory.
Yeah.
Wow, what a true, dedicated
fan.
Yeah.
Thank you, Richard. Thank and if you, Richard. Want to message in, like, Richard, and let us know what your favourite outtakes moment is,
please message in on 0427-JOY-949 or email us on air at joy.org.au or just call us. We've got Robert on the studio, on the phones, manning the phones on 1300-JOY-949.
And you too can feel like electricity.
There you go. You've got to write that
be electric.
Time.
Message in.
Now, we've had a few controversies on the program. One such controversy, which I think was alluded to in that package, was Alan's fondness for Nicole Kidman. Is that something you'd care to explain, Alan?
Love Nicole. As you can tell from my comments, I think, look, to be fair, I think for many years there, Nicole made clanger after clanger, bomb after bomb. But I think she's starting to turn around a little bit. She's lightened off the Botox, so we actually get to see a bit of expression. It's true. It's true. Like, you know, even though it's not a film, there was the series that she did last year, which was...
Big Little Lies.
Big Little Lies. I mean, what a stellar, outstanding performance from Nicole Kidman. Like, I had to really reassess my position on that.
Because you had that whole manifesto, remember?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you had to rewrite the whole last page.
It's like, you know, one box office bomb after the next. But
you can't forgive her for Bewitched. You just can't let it go.
You know, I can't.
I told you.
I can't. Bewitched is one of my favourite shows as a kid.
That movie is terrible.
And she murdered it. Oh, it really is. Such a crashing disappointment.
Yeah. Well, for what it's worth, I eat up any film that she's in. I think she's excellent. So, Nicole, anytime you want to join us in the studio, you have an open invitation.
Oh, open? Really?
Okay. But you know what?
Like, call first.
She can come on the program so long as she doesn't sing.
Oh, my God. No. Well, this brings us to another controversy.
Huge controversy.
We did a program earlier this year where we ranked the top 10 soundtracks, and we kind of made this rule amongst us that no film was going to be featured if we'd already featured a film by the director of that film.
To be fair.
Okay, so we had to pick between
Romeo and Juliet,
directed by Baz Luhrmann.
Strictly Ballroom.
Or Moulin Rouge. And would it be fair to say, Alan, that your disfervor and dispassion for Nicole Kidman meant that Moulin Rouge was discounted somewhat prematurely?
Don't blame Alan. Look, there was a few of us voted.
There was a slight bias. Yeah. There was a leaning towards Romeo and Juliet because, I mean, like, that was such a great song in Romeo and Juliet.
And it had real singers performing. Mm-hmm. Real performers performing the soundtrack.
Look, the podcast of that soundtrack show is available with all of our other podcasts online at joy.org.au/outtakes. But to give you a brief taste of some of the messages that we had coming through.
And we've had another message in too. This one says, if Moulin Rouge isn't in this countdown, I'm done with Joy.
Oh.
Them's fighting words.
Wait.
And Amy from Willis Hill, she's just tuned in and she says, great topic. I'm voting for Moulin Rouge and Rent.
Oh, my God, Rent.
And Moulin Rouge. We have another disappointed Moulin Rouge vote.
We've had another message in from Xavier. And Xavier has asked us, how did Moulin Rouge miss out?
Now, I think at this point, we need to make a kind of public service announcement and say we are sorry to all the jaded fans out there.
Moulin Rouge did get negative marks, of course, because Nicole Kidman does sound like a strangled cat.
Any chance.
In that film.
Nicole. There it is. It's on record, Alan.
Okay.
So you know what?
I'll own it.
We are going to use this opportunity to make amends to our listeners. Mm-hmm. I think we still support the fact that Romeo and Juliet has a killer soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. And if you wish to disagree with us, message in on 0427JOY949 so that we can, again, next year, play those messages.
But we are going to play a Moulin Rouge song, and we've picked one, Alan, that we think you'll like the most because it features Nicole Kidman
Is that Nicole's going, yes, yes, yes?
Well, that's not a song. So
that's how we wanted people to vote, but yes.
Okay, right. Mm.
So this is Sparkling Diamonds from Moulin Rouge. You are listening to Outtakes on Joy 94.9.
The French are glad to die for love.
On the hand may be quite continental, but diamonds are a girl's best friend. A kiss may be grand, but it won't pay the rental on your humble flats or help you feed your animals. Men grow cold as girls grow old, and we all lose our charms in the end. But square or pear shape, these rocks don't lose. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Tiffany! Cause we are living in a material world, and I am a
material girl. Come and get me, boys. That I saw, else no dice.
He's your guy when stocks are high, but beware when they start to sell. Diamonds are a no, diamonds are a no, diamonds are a no.
Let's make a love. Yeah.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9. We're celebrating 100 episodes this evening. And we played that track from Moulin Rouge because there was some controversy about us omitting Moulin Rouge from our list of the top 10 soundtracks. Alan, much thanks to you.
Well, you know, I have a little confession to make, guys. Okay. And that is I actually...
You've turned.
I actually... did buy this CD and it was on high rotation in my house, especially when going out. I would actually skip over Nicole's songs, but having said that, I do have to say that Nicole is a way better singer than Emma Stone. I mean, seriously, Emma Stone in La La Land. La La Land would have been such a better film if they actually had two actors who could sing. I mean, they could dance, but they needed two actors who could sing. And
you
it would have
take
been
us
stellar.
And you give us and you take us.
Take us away. You know, we've got to balance it out. It's a balanced view here. Yes. Daniel.
That pen you're holding is like a shiv. Just stabbing everything in sight.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9, where tonight we're looking back at the way that we were as we celebrate 100 episodes of celebrating queer cinema here on Outtakes.
Daniel, you're saying that so well through all your tears. I mean, I know how choked up you were listening to that song. And, you know,
no, Gina was the choked up.
I love the professionalism you're just powering through.
That's that song they played over that was it the Telstra ad back where the migrants migrated to Australia and...
No, but they did...
A song like that.
I don't know about the Telstra ad, but they played it in the Nanny finale.
Oh, wasn't it? Yeah.
So it's layer of queerness laid upon layer of queerness.
And then there's the actual movie that it was in. That was actually quite emotional and the scene... Anyway.
Gorgeous.
Who can forget the Nanny? I mean, come on.
Well, if you'd like to forget the Nanny and tell us about your favourite outtakes moment instead, please message in on 0427JOY949.
Like Nick.
Oh, we've got a message from Nick from Murrumbina. Happy 100th, he says. Loved every episode, of course, but my favourite would be the soundtrack episode. I'm all for the Moulin Rouge drama. Keep up the great work, guys.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
That's what we're here for, Nick.
Uh-huh. So Moulin Rouge on, 101 and Alan on 0. No, we've
covered a lot of stuff.
We have covered a lot.
Yeah.
And something that we have come back to, though, time and time again, is how important queer cinema is for queer audiences and how important it is to all of us as LGBTIQ viewers to see ourselves on the screen.
And I know for myself, going back through the list, it's the shows that have stood out to me is how we're still not there when it comes to showing full representation of our community. So when we did our disability show, it was so hard to look at films. When we looked at our elders, again, so hard to find films to look at. And the same with trans representation, which is getting better, but disability and our elders is still lacking.
And I have to say, we had the same trouble with our bisexual show when we did a show on bisexual representation. And I dare say that we haven't even had a show yet on intersex representation.
No, we haven't. No, we haven't done that. No.
So while our stories, I think, are getting a maturing, we're not telling the same coming-of-age stories again and again and again. We haven't scratched the surface when it comes to looking at our diversity within our diversity. I think that's the one thing we can all agree on, kind of looking at all these films, and it's the one thing I'd love to see, you know, change in the landscape of film coming forward.
And some of the best films that we have looked at are films that manage to look at so many cross-sections of the community at the same time. The films that really nail representation are the films that nail the kind of intersectionality of identity. I mean, I know it's a bit of a tired term, but films like the films of Anna Kokkinos, I mean, she comes to mind straight away, some of the adaptations of Christos Chalkis's work, a lot of the foreign cinema actually that we've looked at, now that I think about it, deals with the kind of intersectionality of identity really, really well. And that's something that I think we need to advocate for more as well. Yeah. And actually a film that did it so well was Moonlight, the critical success that it was.
How lucky were you guys to speak with Barry Jenkins? That's actually one of my favourite podcasts. I go back to and listen to again and again and again. It was one of my favourite interviews. I just love it.
I was gushing. I listened back to it recently because I shared it with a friend. I thought, oh my God, you can just hear it. I'm just nearly about to say, Barry, will you marry me? Will you accept this rose?
And how wonderful was he?
He was the perfect interview.
Yeah.
He kept it fresh, and even how much he talked about it, he was wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he won an Academy Award after speaking to us. My bet for the Academy Award for director next year is Luca Guadagnino for Call Me By Your Name. I think there's something there.
I think so too.
Well, they speak to us and then they win,
you know. So anyway, look, I've put together a look back at some people that we've spoken with who have really championed the importance of representation. So in this package, you will hear the voices of people like Barry Jenkins and Luca Guadagnino, who directed Call Me By Your Name. You'll also hear from Anna Kokkinos. You'll also hear from Jenny Tossey, who's the outgoing CEO of Film Victoria, Graham Mason, who's the CEO of Screen Australia. You'll also hear from Ruby Rich, who coined the phrase new queer cinema, as well as a number of other guests that we've had on the program.
Do we have Justin Kelly in there?
Or? Well, Justin Kelly was talking more about the importance of representing pornography on film. But thanks to our in-house podcaster, Conrad, that program is available for listening now. So just head to our podcast page and you can listen to the full interview.
We have a genre of filmmaking now where we used to have nothing but a barren wasteland. by now, certain things have been done, certain things have been tried, and yet every generation seems to want once again to have the very basic lines of their story outlined again for them.
Representation is terribly, terribly important because we use screen culture as a way to dream, as a way to aspire. There's an empathy, an engagement that when we go into a cinema or even watching on television, we really look to those characters to say something about the things that we might think and feel.
As a storyteller, I saw an opportunity to be an active ally. It's one of those things where it's like, I have to get this right, you know, because it's very important, because we don't see this very often, you know, and yet people have lived this.
It's daft to not tell stories for the full breadth of the country.
The importance of diversity is because it reflects who we are as a society. You know, most of us have different heritages, and it's really important that when we're looking at cinema, that those that heritage that people have, the experiences that people have, are actually reflected back to us as a true representation of the society we live in.
It's very important to see trans people on screen, hopefully living more and more normalised lives. But, you know, obviously when I was growing up, there was no one trans on screen, which makes for a very isolating experience.
At that time, I felt that I wasn't seeing stories that reflected something about my lived experience on screen.
What we need to do is encourage people early on in the pipeline to flood it with stories by and or about people from the diverse spectrum that make up Australia.
It is about non-straight identity. It's about being somehow sort of resistant or sort of oppositional to the mainstream or to a dominant straight culture. I think that's a really important part.
Of all the words that have to be embraced, the word queer is the most important because it's the one that drives us toward the path of the unclassifiable.
Yes.
And in this way, I believe that my intuition is also my queerness.
The characters that we get to see in TV and film have the opportunity to foster understanding. They get exported around the world, especially in those countries where, you know, even just being out as LGBT can be a huge risk. Those characters, they can start that process of getting to know an LGBT person when you maybe don't know one in real life.
When you see yourself reflected on the screen, you know you belong. You think, well, you know, I belong to this society. I belong here.
I think that we're in an era when the imagination really needs to be plumbed much more deeply. And we're also in such fascinating and distressing times of backlash, of new threats, of new celebration, of new rights. It's hard to sort it out. And I think that we need our films and television to sort it out for us, to help us sort it out.
Well, there you go. What a lineup of guests all talking about the importance of representation. Anna Kokkinos, Ruby Rich, Sue Maslin, Barry Jenkins, Luca Guadagnino, Graham Mason, Jenny Tossi. A really stellar lineup of people all singing the praises of diverse representation.
And thank you to Jenny Tossi because she is now soon wrapping up at Film Victoria. And she's been instrumental in supporting things like MQFF. And she's been in here in the studio. She's done great work with our community. So thank you, Jenny.
Yeah, thanks, Jenny. Yeah, brilliant. Well, actually, a big thank you to all of the guests who have come through our doors. But yes, thank you to Jenny. And also, picking up on something that we were having a joke about before, but Conrad, you did actually ask Barry Jenkins when we were chatting with him what it would mean to him to win an Oscar. And that was just weeks before he actually did win the Oscar. And I think his answer has a lot to say about why representation is so important.
As a filmmaker, you know, very literally, it means the voice of the film is carried farther anytime any of these awards things happen. I think personally, you know, I grew up like the character in this film. And people from this world simply do not win or get nominated for Academy Awards. They just don't. I think if someone like me, someone like this character, Chiron, is nominated for an Academy Award, it shows, you know, there is no ceiling, you know? you know, everything is possible. And I'll tell a story from the filming of Moonlight. We filmed in the neighborhood I grew up in, you know, in Liberty City, this very tough neighborhood in Miami. And over the course of filming there, you know, the drug dealers shoot out all the streetlights. And we had a few night scenes in this neighborhood, so we put up all these lights. And the parents were like, oh, my God, we're so glad you guys are here. The kids can hang out at night because you guys put up your lights. Yeah. And then I remember one day I looked back at Video Village, and, you know, I don't sit in my chair very often on set. And there were these kids sitting in my director's chair, and the producer was pointing at me like, yeah, that's the guy who's from here. And all I could think was, I didn't get into this until I was 22. I was already halfway through my undergrad. And it was because I'd never seen anybody who looked like me or who was from where I was from doing this. And now this kid who's 10 years old, 12 years old, has seen me and knows I'm from here doing this, and maybe they'll get the bug. So I think if I were nominated for an Academy Award, personally for me and for the place that I'm from, it would just mean a confirmation that, you know, we can do this shit too.
Well, he got the confirmation, didn't he?
Oh. He did in a roundabout way. If you remember at the award ceremony.
Quite the scandal.
It was a bloody I think it was a conspiracy. I think they did that on purpose.
I remember you advocating that at the time.
Absolutely.
He did a really wonderful interview for a podcast on NPR when he talked about it, and he broke down that whole moment, and he was very genuine in his understanding of the fact that it was just a huge stuff up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. He even talks about how one of the producers like came running into the crowd to get him.
Wow.
Yeah, so they knew they made a mistake.
Then they knew, yeah, but what a colossal stuff up. I mean, jeez.
He's so magical.
Yes, but yes.
And so I'm really looking forward to
moving on to the positive. Yes. So it's sidetracking. Yes.
Well, I'm looking forward to his next film because we featured I'm Not Your Negro, which was the first film to actually deal with James Baldwin, that got the rights from the James Baldwin estate to deal with his works. And Barry Jenkins is the second filmmaker to do that. So his next film is an adaptation of a James Baldwin text, which I think is really exciting.
Can you remember what text it is, Daniel?
I believe it's If Bill Street Could Talk. Okay. It's about some very heavy themes, so we won't go into it now.
Wow.
But very exciting, and I'm looking forward to it.
The Moonlight effect that has happened this year, I think, is going to be really exciting to see what happens in all the coming award shows, because I just feel like it's opened a door. I'm very excited.
Opened a door for new filmmakers as well. Mm.
And so this is the lavender ceiling has been well and truly smashed through. Is that it?
It's a small crack.
A small crack.
You are listening to Outtakes on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema, here on Joy 94.9, where this evening we are celebrating 100 episodes. 100 episodes of Outtakes, 100 episodes of spotlighting the importance of diverse representation and the very best, and sometimes, I dare say, the worst, in queer cinema.
We'll have to do a whole special show about all the things that we've done that are terrible, but we just can't use names. I actually need to apologise to David Stratton. I did this wonderful interview with him that one of my colleagues at deleted before I could save it. How terrible was that?
One of the many.
Wonderful man, though.
Yes, there have been a few interviews that have taken place in the Outtakes studio that haven't quite gone to air. One, the now fabled and famous, I think, incident with the director of the Bear franchise.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's when we were interviewing this lovely gentleman and we were doing a pre-record and unfortunately somehow we were going to air at the same time by accident.
Whoops. Yeah. And saying some very unsavory things.
Yeah, no, look, it was post Mardi Gras and we're talking about hamburgers, and let's leave it at that. Okay.
Hamburgers?
Brilliant. So,
buns and buns. Stuff.
We have, we've been celebrating all that we've achieved in the past 100 episodes over the course of the hour tonight. And now we're going to put all of our knowledge to the test.
Oh, dear.
We have this segment that we like on Outtakes that I think we used to do it a bit more often than we do now, 15 in 15, where we put our guests on the spot and make them answer as many questions as they can in 15 seconds. So we've elongated the time frame a little bit. You each have 30 seconds now. And Conrad, Gina and Alan, we're going to put you on the spot one by one and see how much you remember from the last 100 episodes of Outtakes.
I've just got a paper bag here because I'm hyperventilating.
Just say Nicole if you get it wrong.
That was going to be my
You're
trick.
Stealing my thunder. Stealing my thunder.
Okay, so Conrad, you valiantly offered yourself up for attempt number one.
I volunteer as tribute.
Okay. Here we go. Okay. The hard part is going to be reading my handwriting.
Oh, yeah, that's up to you. I can't help you with that.
Yeah,
okay.
No pressure.
So here we go. Counting down. 3, 2, 1. Has it started? Oh, yeah, there it is. It's going. Which Disney character did Alan say he'd go for?
The Beast.
I don't remember.
Which guest told Daniel in an off-air break that he rubs them the wrong way?
Oh, too many to remember.
That's every second guest.
Which diva did we devote a whole program to?
Judy Garland.
Cher.
Which character did... only got like three answers.
Because Alan keeps on talking. Yeah. I want a redo.
Should we give him another go?
Yeah, give him another go.
Okay.
Yeah,
good at this. All right, because now we'll know like when it starts. Okay, yeah. Here we go.
There's rules, people. Follow them.
So which director did Gina go gaga over?
Anna Kokonos?
Alan often says of handsome men that he wouldn't kick them out of bed for what?
Eating.
Eating what?
Crackers.
Oh, crackers. Okay, cool.
What does Alan often tease? Who does Alan often tease Daniel for having a crush on?
Nicole Kidman?
Jonathan Groff.
Oh, same diff. That was fun.
All right. All right.
That was good.
So Gina, are you feeling up to the challenge?
You can do it.
I know what to say if I don't know the answer, so go for it.
Yep.
Okay. So counting down, 3, 2, 1. When Alan or Gina do not know how to respond, what do they say?
We'll take that as a comment, Daniel.
Which Disney princess did Daniel say that he would turn for?
Ariel? No.
No. Elsa.
Elsa.
Which author did we go wild for?
Ooh. Oh, my God. I think I know this, but I can't remember.
Oh, my God. The name. Which author did we go wild for?
Oscar Wilde.
Which ballet dancer did we fall in love with?
Snap out of it.
I don't know.
Billy Elliot.
Oh, Billy. It's electric.
I feel like
electricity.
Do we need to give her another go?
They put me out to pasture. Like those pastoral romance cinema show we did. We still need a definition on that, Daniel.
Yeah.
Another day.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we gave a pretty good definition of
queer pastoral romances. Mm. There's sheep and there's a field. I think that's a You're telling that, Alan.
Right, yeah.
All right, here we go. Which program did we run as specially for you, Alan?
The Bonnet and Bustle episode.
Yay. Mm. Which teenage film did Alan go gaga for?
Oh, is this Emu High School Musical? That one?
Emo. Emu.
Emu.
Which
Emu.
Film does Conrad hate but it won a Blockbuster Film Award?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, Conrad, help me out.
Do I hate it?
Oh, my
help
God.
Me out.
Hate must be pretty strong.
Practical.
No, I don't hate Practical Magic. Is it Practical Magic?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I don't hate it.
Snap out of it.
Yeah, snap.
Alan needs more.
Yeah.
All right.
Alan, more for Alan.
Okay, here we go. Are we going to start? We're going to revisit a question. So which Disney princess did Daniel say that he would turn for?
That would be Elsa, surely.
Oh, my God, no.
No, or Mulan from...
Belle.
From
Belle, thank
Belle.
You.
Oh, Belle.
Oh, which prince did Conrad say he'd go for? Disney prince.
Disney prince. Oh, help me out. The guy from Aladdin.
No.
No?
No, it's a trick question. He said none of them, but then he said Wreck-It Ralph, so.
Oh, yeah, Wreck-It Ralph.
All right,
okay. Which film?
Snap out of it!
That was hard.
You got like two that time.
What are your other questions? Help.
Well, the next question was.
We can all fight.
Which film did Daniel critique so hard that he was told off for mansplaining?
Oh.
Which film was that?
Oh my God, that was only a couple of weeks ago.
It was The First Girl That I Loved.
Oh.
That's the one.
Oh, yes.
That, I mean, that was one of the greatest controversies that I think we've had in this studio.
Wasn't it called The First Girl I Loved?
It was, but I pronounce it grammatically correctly.
That's mansplaining right there. Yeah.
Add it to the list.
Yeah, boom.
So look, I mean, what a 100 episodes. It's been so much fun and so enlightening. And I have to say, we really have been so lucky to have some really exceptional guests come through our doors. I remember sitting down with Sarah Giordano, who was the director of Kiki. And there was a moment in that interview where I just thought she is so knowledgeable and so alive with enthusiasm for what she does. And it's such a privilege to be able to have people like that on our program. So thank you to all of the guests who have contributed to our takes.
Absolutely. Do you know the one thing that I always keep on coming back to? I always wonder, what is the next country that is going to have its own film festival here in Melbourne? It's like every year, it's like there's the Indian Film Festival, Spanish, Italian, but there's always a new one that kind of comes out. And I kind of love it because, you know, if there's a queer thing in there,
it's great. Well,
we're all over it.
Yeah.
This year, there's a British Film Festival.
Yes. There was one last year as well.
As there has been for many years.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, like, who would have thought that there'd be a British Film Festival? Is there an American one?
Well, there's the American Independent Film Festival. We did feature, Conrad, you and I did a show. Mm. I think it was just you and I on the American Independent Cinema. And Alan, you and I did one on Scandinavian cinema.
Oh, but that's brilliant. Who doesn't love Scandi film?
And we did a queer German cinema.
Jewish Film Festival.
We have our own MQFF, which we had the opportunity to have an outside broadcast for.
That was pretty special.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Live from Acme
Studios. Yeah, so that was actually a lot of fun, and thank you to the tech team who got us set up for that, or else it wouldn't have happened.
And I love that we've just been able to look at such a diverse range of topics as well, from different nationality-based cinema to shows on films dealing with sports, dealing with high school, dealing with musicals, dealing with mothers and fathers and older people and younger people and pastoral romance cinema and bonnet and bustle cinema and transgenerational trauma in cinema. And
marriage equality is one that's a standout at the moment. And I think for me, one of the standout films that I've watched in these 100 episodes is The Queen of Ireland.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that was a powerful film.
Panty Bliss.
Panty Bliss. Sorry, I was thinking Patsy there for a second. Getting it all wrong. But Panty Bliss, I mean, what an amazing person, and how she has got up there and has been a true voice for queer people in Ireland. That was amazing.
Well, speaking of voices for queer people, thank you so much to all three of you for bringing such different wonderful components to our outtakes team. I really didn't plan what I was going to say before saying
it. Right back
at thank you. It's been a pleasure working with all of you. And we also need to thank the wonderful people who are always on the front desk supporting us.
Tony and Robert. So Tony we had last week because had film in Tilt. So well done, Tony. And thank you.
And we have to acknowledge you, Daniel, for all of your hard work. You do the work of five people. I really don't know how.
Because we don't.
Yeah. You have the time. You're, you know, full-time study, working, all the work that you do here for Joy. I mean, you are a machine. And I take my hat off to you. Well done, Daniel.
Thank you very much. I will take that compliment, Alan.
Take that as a compliment.
And on that note, we look forward to the next 100 episodes. You've been listening to Outtakes on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.